but I'm going to be swinging. I'm going to be swinging for the fences on this one.
This is a fence. You know? This is a home run.
I'm going to be telling him. I'm going to be telling him.
Or I've missed something completely.
Yeah.
Which happens.
Yeah, it happens.
It happens.
But unless you make offers, you never really know.
Well, there's like this balancing act you do between doing due diligence and burning a bunch of cash.
Yes.
So, like, to find out, to burn a bunch of cash to find out that you did miss something is not ideal.
No.
No. Right? It's okay to put a deposit down that you know you're getting back and throw out an offer. But then if it's accepted, now you got to start spending some dough.
Yeah.
And that is the, like, it's how much dough do you spend and when? Because you don't know if you're going to get the money unless you're sitting on a pile of cash yourself, right? You're going to have to ask somebody for some money at some point, right? Yeah. Which yeah. means now at least two people have to believe in the idea, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's always exciting. And then it's not. Then it's like, oh, okay. How to proceed on this one? Because, like, it, generally, you're not the first guy on the deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're coming into a deal that somebody else couldn't put together, right?
Your whole story is you are the guy who comes in when everybody else has looked at the deal and said, it's just not going to work.
Is that
my... You come in and you find a way to make it work.
Well, sometimes, yeah. But sometimes I go, oh, that was dumb.
That's why it's not
That was dumb.
But Daryl, we didn't ask people if they were happy with our show first.
Well, obviously, TK, they're not. Otherwise, there'd be way more of them subscribing.
We'd have a lot more people subscribing, liking, and commenting. So if you're listening to this right now, just hit the like button and then drop a little comment underneath. Say hello and then press subscribe and then the bell, all in that order.
Only if you're getting something out of this, because otherwise, I mean, yeah, just... Well, thanks for watching, I guess.
I guess so.
Why
but
are you
also,
watching?
If you hate listening to two guys talk for an hour about nonsense, then go to our Real Estate Clips channel. It's called Canadian Real Estate Clips.
Look at that. Go check that out.
And just go and check those people out over there. We've got so many clips. You know what? Like my feed now, because I'm looking at the show and I'm trying to figure out, okay, well, you know, I want to go maybe comment or like look at the views, how many people or whatever, so I have to go to my feed or my notifications or whatever, but then I see all these other notifications which I don't know because it's just polluted with notifications, so I never really look at them. But it's hard for me to find our show, the main channel, because of all these clips notifications. Holy smokes.
Yeah, I've been told by a trusted source that maybe it's too much Canadian real estate show.
Never.
Is there such a thing?
Never.
Never.
Said such a thing.
TK?
We got a guest today.
We got a great guest today.
Yeah.
We're going to
talk about things that are not just Toronto-centric.
This will guarantee it.
People are just fed up of hearing about this Toronto real estate market, man. It's always up and then it's down and then everybody wants it and then nobody wants it. It's the same old story. Honestly, the Toronto real estate market and the Toronto Maple Leafs are like the same, like, cut from the same cloth. You know what I mean? Just like a story.
Just a bunch of losers.
It's just a hopeless romantic story where, you know, they're breaking up and
everybody
getting back
wins
together. The team never quite gets perfect. No one's ever said to me the Toronto real estate market's just perfect now. It's exactly the way it's supposed to be. Everything is just working in harmony. There's always a complaint. Right?
There's always a complaint.
There's
TK.
Always a complaint.
I have such a great story from an Uber drive yesterday.
Yeah.
That I would love to tell you about. But I don't know if we want to bring our guest on right now. But
let's bring the guest on. Yeah.
It's so relevant. You know what? It's so good and so relevant. And maybe we'll get it out later in the show.
As a show, yeah.
Remind me later. Remind me later.
I'll tell you. I'll do the Uber signal.
This is good. It's like immigrants having trouble. It's buying a peak market. All in an Uber.
Now he's driving Uber. Yeah.
All in an Uber ride. I thought I was getting set up to buy something at first. You know, it's like I got in the Uber and the
guy just wants you to give him a second mortgage.
Well, he's like, that's what I was thinking. I swear to God, yeah. I get in the Uber and it's like, I'm on the phone with my friend. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, Matt.
It's that Bald
here.
Prairie guy just coming on the show.
All
hey?
Of a sudden,
holy
Matt
smokes.
Here. Boom.
World famous over here.
Audio. I have somebody complaining.
Oh, it's horrible.
Audio is brutal. What's going on over
brutal,
there?
Bro.
What's going on?
What's happening, guys?
Well, welcome.
What is
Look at
happening?
the merch on the guy. That, oh my gosh, that is just
we
a
are
beautiful
so
shirt.
behind.
There we
TK.
go.
It's gorgeous. Yeah, and look at the even like the logo. Like even that. Look at those farms and that wheat. It just looks so,
so
wholesome.
Great.
Hey,
have you managed to keep the Ontarians out of your province? Because last time we talked, you were like, don't tell anybody how great it is here and how cheap, right? Like keep it within our conversation. But
we did.
I think the secret's out. No,
I think Alberta has been figured out. I don't know if they've quite figured out Saskatchewan yet, but I'm
really
worried they will soon enough.
It's funny because a lot of people that I talk to. Well, I used to talk to on Twitter before the whole Twitter incident, but like a lot of people were kind of on to the idea of Saskatchewan making a hell of a lot of sense financially.
I think it does, but that's just my personal bias, probably.
So, but what, like,
it's
I still don't get it.
The only place that makes sense financially.
Yeah, like what's holding people back? Because it's flat? Like this is the problem?
Part of it too is we do have a diversified economy, but maybe not as diversified as other areas, right? Like if you're a film, audio, video, IT guy, there's definitely not that type of employment here. If you're into trades and commodities and stuff like that, yeah, we've got that. Financial sector is not huge. Obviously a lot of government work here, but there's certain industries that we just don't have well represented here.
I have to tell you the truth. Okay.
What's the truth?
What's
I have
the
to.
Truth?
I have to get. I just can't. I can't let him go throughout the show believing that it's the job opportunities or the weather or the topography of the land. Okay.
You know what it is, TK?
I know what it is.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
I didn't realize.
I've been holding back, and last episode.
What the hell
I
do we have Matt
him,
here for? That.
But this time, I just have to do it.
Okay.
I just think that people think Saskatchewan's not that exciting. That's
yeah.
the truth.
Not that.
They're
exciting.
Just like. What's in Saskatchewan? What am I going
to
do?
Why the
I don't
fuck
feel
am I
like
going
over
to
there I'm
Saskatchewan?
Going to have a lot of fun. And they
it's
figure
a
that
slower life
everybody's
pace
just,
for sure.
Yeah. And everybody's just over there.
How about not
and
die of a heart
their
attack?
Their picture in their head
mortgage.
Is just kind of like, they're not doing anything. They don't even laugh over in Saskatchewan. They don't even play games. You know,
you
their hockey games, they probably
theory.
Shake hands in between periods, those guys, you know? And that's what it is. It's just one of those type of images that I think the province. So Alberta's done an amazing job at promoting Alberta.
Marketing.
Like Alberta's just.
They must have hired realtors to do the marketing
right?
campaign
and,
in Calgary,
and,
right?
And so we have a marketing campaign in Ontario for people to move to Alberta. It's on the radios, it's on TVs,
yep.
it's everywhere.
It's pretty
and they're just
crazy.
Like, rah, 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 Alberta, Alberta, Alberta. But Saskatchewan,
no.
I have a hard time remembering. Recalling any type of ads for people to move to Saskatchewan. And I think that might be the province's fault.
I'm slightly okay with that.
See, this is the thing. This is what I was going to say, but me and TK are talking too much, but it's that mentality. Even last time Matt was like, honestly, guys, like don't come here and fuck up what we got here. Right. Like, honestly, we got a good thing. There's nice people here. We don't need this thing getting screwed up by you crazy money hungry fools out there in Ontario, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Manitoba right. seems like it's the slums. Like Manitoba seems
Where's
like you're going to go there and you're going to get shot. It's on the way to Saskatchewan.
About Manitoba? Where
right?
is this place?
Alberta seems just like it's like Ontario, but like just not as good, you know, but they're really trying to like be cool like Ontario.
It's kind of
BC,
true, yeah.
Those guys are just like free in the wind. They got long
mushrooms
hair
and
yeah,
smoking weed all day. These guys
over
are
there.
Fucked up over there.
But Saskatchewan is just, it's just different. It's just kind of like, you know, it's like our reserved cousin where we're like, okay, we want to like, you know, sneak out in the middle of the night and go downtown and party while like mom and dad are sleeping. And he's just like, no, man, we'll get caught. We better just stay home and relax. And I think that's the reason why that people don't move to Saskatchewan. I think that's the number one reason. And I think that I've never been, but I think people in Saskatchewan are having just as much fun in life as people in Ontario. I don't think there's any difference whatsoever.
Well, nicer. We can afford to go on trips. You guys can't.
That's
you guys
right.
can afford to do all sorts
of stuff.
We
can afford to
stuff.
Do everything like eat, you know? Yeah. Oh, wow. Chicken went up. Who gives a fuck? Right?
Right?
My mortgage
interest
is still
rates?
The same.
I don't even have a mortgage. What do you mean? I bought this thing for $80,000 10 years ago. And so these are the things that I think the image of Saskatchewan needs to change. And I think you're changing that, you know, one like view and video at a time. You're really trying to promote to people that Saskatchewan's a great place.
I actually think there are more vehicles registered in Saskatchewan than people that live here.
I have like three on my street. I can't, now that you say that, holy shit.
Insurance. What's the insurance like in Saskatchewan?
Cheap. Super cheap. Because it's based on the vehicle. It's not based on driver.
That makes sense.
Yeah, you insure the vehicle, not the driver.
Oh my gosh.
I got a Volkswagen Golf and my insurance is $1,200 a year.
Oh my God.
Whoa.
That's crazy.
And then I've got a package policy on top of that, which is like additional insurance for extra liability, smaller deductible, a couple extra things like road hazard for glass and stuff. And I think that cost me $400 a year. So all in, I'm about $1,600 a year for my insurance.
Look, I know that I caused 6 accidents in the past 3 years. Okay. But it was the car's fault. Okay. Like the car was insured, but it wasn't me as the driver. So now I got a new car and the likelihood of these accidents happening again is very little. Things are different in Saskatchewan. So guys, if you want to move to Saskatchewan, not only is the real estate cheaper, but the car insurance is cheaper.
Everything must be cheaper. You can just go grab some wheat and make some cereal in the morning.
That's all you
need
to do.
So, okay. Last time we talked, I remember we talked about new construction being basically non-existent there. Has that changed at all?
It's starting to pick back up.
When was it up? Hold on a second.
2003.
Okay. Yeah. So it's starting to pick back up. And what does that look like? Do we have a crane in the sky anywhere in Saskatchewan?
Saskatoon, I think, has got a couple of buildings going up. Regina is, I think everybody's playing a game of chicken right now, all the developers, because there isn't a new subdivision that has been opened since 2012. Everybody's been playing games of like, who's going to go first? And there's one area.
What's everyone? Like Dream. Three guys?
There's a couple of major builders. Okay. But like Homes by Dream is one of the bigger builders here. They're out of Edmonton. And they've got a big parcel of land that they had bought and were ready to build on prior to 2012. They shut that down when things start going sideways. I think that's the first one that they're going to eventually open. But obviously, you guys know, if you're going to do a subdivision, you're millions and millions and millions of dollars. And everybody's a little bit shy in terms of pulling the trigger on this right now. But I think when one guy goes, they'll all go.
Have all you they seen do is the lineups
in
here?
Ontario for it?
Did you see the Treasure Hill launch? Like the lineups of people here. So you would sell out that subdivision in Ontario in the weekend, and they're on year 11 of the waiting chicken game.
Registration.
What the?
They're doing registrations.
Holy shit. Okay.
That's crazy. Yeah. But really though, we talked about this. I mean, just for people who didn't watch the last episode, you know, click here for the last episode that we had Matt on, and there's probably no link there, but maybe our editing guy will do that. But the last time we talked is because the cost of construction isn't any cheaper. Right. No. And so at the end of the day, how is someone going to build a 2000 square foot house and sell it for $500,000? You just can't.
Yeah.
You have to buy the land for -$300
a square foot to build something here plus land.
Yeah.
How much?
A house.
How much?
Sorry, what's that? $300 a square foot to build a house without land.
Yeah.
A house without land. And that's like,
so 2000 square feet. So 600K, but it only sells for five. So when you buy the land, you need to buy it for
minus
the landowner 100. Will pay you $100,000 to break even. Yeah.
Yeah. Even my own personal house, you know, I bought it for the mid-fours, and I think your cost to rebuild it with land would be $750 to $850.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't pay $850 for my own house.
So what happens when a house goes up for sale? Is there demand like crazy for it?
We just had the second busiest single month all time last month.
What does that look like?
420 sales in the month in Regina.
420 sales is the second highest
all time.
What was the highest? And when
that would have been, let's pull it up, last May at 456.
Last year, a year ago, was the busy.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Right. We had you on the
crash
show.
Already
we had
in May,
you on
like
the show in the summer, because rates had just started to go up. And
we didn't see prices start dropping until, because we dropped quite a bit later. We peaked out in July.
Yeah. We were around July, because I remember the 1% raise happened. And July 1st, I believe, is when that happened.
Yeah.
Or 7th or whatever. So it was like we had a 1% increase, and you were just like, yeah, whatever. Like,
Where
that doesn't mean anything.
So hold on, are the out of the 426 people, would you say that it's the same
Matt sold
type of mix? No, but is it the same mix of people that are buying, or are there more people coming from outside?
We've got strong international immigration, not strong inter-provincial migration.
So people being forced when they immigrate to go to Saskatchewan?
A lot of people, I think, choosing to.
I'm asking. I don't know.
They don't know any better. Every province is just as cool to them as the next one. So they don't have that same sort of like idea of where life is going to be better. They just look at the numbers, and Saskatchewan numbers make sense.
The province has tried really hard to go after the international immigration.
Smart.
And they've been pushing to see more immigration to Saskatchewan internationally. So that's a government effort trying to get more people to come to Canada. And actually, we are now, again, we set all-time highs for population as well this year.
Is there federal government incentives for people to move to Saskatchewan?
Provincial government does a lot of stuff, and they would do a lot of work as well. Provincial nominee programs. If you already have family here or friends here, it's a little bit easier to get in if you've got that kind of connection. So
where do they work, though? So where are these people getting jobs?
We have a huge trades and commodity sector. For us, commodities is what drives our economy. So things like your cereal crops, potash, oil, obviously energy sector is big for us. Uranium is big for us. And as much as this is not a nice thing to say, it's a true thing. The longer the war in Russia and Ukraine go on, the better it is for Saskatchewan, mm-hmm. because they're some of the biggest competitors internationally to Saskatchewan's commodities. Whether it's potash, uranium, cereal crops, all that stuff. That's what we produce for the world. And right now they are not producing it, or nobody's buying it from them.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are these jobs paying out there for these kind of things? Are we talking $20 an hour, $30 an hour, minimum wage?
Your average household income in Regina is about $110,000.
Jeez!
Two people, yeah. Right? Between multiple people? $110,000.
I think Regina, Saskatoon sit within the top 5 or 6 in Canada of the major metropolitan areas.
And what's the average price for housing there now?
Regina's about 315, Saskatoon's about 350.
And they say that the Canadian real estate market has problems. No, we don't have problems.
Toronto.
We do. We have lots of problems.
Toronto and Vancouver have problems.
Yeah.
Everywhere else, it makes total sense. And when we look at things like I look in the States a lot at like investment properties, and I'm always like drooling, like, oh, wow. Like, imagine, you know, that you could buy like that building with a 10 cap and it would have all these great, you know, features. And like, you couldn't build that thing for a third or you couldn't build that thing for triple what you're paying for it. You know, the replacement cost is just incredible. Right. But really those deals exist in Saskatchewan, and that there's a ton of opportunity for people to buy properties there way below replacement costs.
I just had a guy, young kid, 23 years old, buying his first rental property. And we found a house in not an A-plus neighborhood. It's definitely, you know, a BC neighborhood type thing. Mm. 900 square foot bungalow with a regulation, fully permitted basement suite that was built in 2018. And we were $275 on the purchase, and it kicks out about $2,500 a month in rent between the two suites.
What the fuck is going on? Hold on a sec. It was built in 2018 and now it's for suite.
Oh. No, the basement suite was rented. It was an older house. It's 1960s, I believe, on that one. But the basement was fully gutted and renoed to proper regulation status in 2018.
So tell me, the previous owner, what did they pay for it when they bought it first?
I'd have to pull that up. They would have been less because it didn't have the basement suite.
Okay, so here we go. We got $2,500 a month in rent. So we got $275K for the purchase price.
Net. Are these net numbers?
No, that's gross. So we're gonna put down $50,000. We got a 200.
He put 65 roughly into this.
Okay, let's say we got a $200,000 mortgage. Yep. So we're about $1,200 a month mortgage payment, property taxes per month.
About 1% purchase price. So we'll call it $2,700 a year.
$200
a month. Yeah.
$200 a month. So we're at $1,400. Utilities and all that.
Utilities are all separate to the tenants.
Separate to the tenants. So insurance, maybe $1,500, maybe we could say, is going to be your expenses on that property. And that you're collecting $2,500 a month rent legally from two apartments.
Yep.
and you've got $1,000 cash flow.
Yeah, it's, well, you're going to have a little, you know, put some reserve money away and stuff like that. We projected out to be very conservative. He's going to be $500 or $600 a month cash flow positive.
Okay, so we got $500 a month. So that's $6,000 a year is going to be what you're like net. You know, you're covering everything: vacancies, repairs, maintenance, all that kind of stuff. Your initial cash was about 60 G's. So you got a 10% cash on cash return. Then you're going to have all of your mortgage pay down, and you're going to have appreciation and all the other things that are going to come with
There's
that.
There's no appreciation. Get that Toronto language out of your vocabulary.
Mortgage pay down, here, mortgage pay down.
Yeah, we didn't buy this for appreciation. That was the gravy.
Cash return. Yeah.
Woo! The whole thing. And again, I think we're very conservative on our cash flow numbers.
Yeah.
But we want it to be a young kid buying his first place. They said, let's not screw this up. Let's make sure that, you know, we got lots of margin here. Again, should rates go up? Should it be more expensive to run? You know, whatever it may be, let's make sure that you're really, really conservative here.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good investment, right? So if people want to buy an investment property like that, where can they find you?
When I sent it to him, he goes, what do you think of this? And I said, well, if you don't buy it, I got two or three others that will.
Yeah.
So you get first run at this. And, you know, I've always said to people, if people watch my channel, I did a video on this. How do you find the best deals in real estate? Make good friends with your real estate agent, because the best deals are the ones that, you know, never leave the real estate agent's briefcase type of thing.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, if you don't buy this, I do have out of town investors that would absolutely be all over this, but I'm giving it to the local guy first because he's a friend of mine. He's a good client.
That's gatekeeper
deal.
This is problem.
This is the way it works. So
it should work like
this
that.
This is how people are though, man. And this is going to be a good point here that you're going to appreciate. Some people in Toronto, maybe this doesn't happen in Saskatchewan, I don't know, but they have a lot of real estate agents.
Yep.
They have like 5, 6, 7 agents. And they're like,
well,
whoever brings me the best
agents
deal
there.
Yeah. Whoever brings me the best deal, I'll buy with you.
Yep.
So
on a house you're talking
you
about,
get? What deals do you get though? You get the ones that their good clients already said no to.
Yeah.
Because the really good deals go to the people who are loyal to you. Your good clients who work with you for years, who you're like, this guy's not talking to any other realtors. He's my client. You bring them the best deals.
That's where the
and
best
if that guy says no,
go to the
then
best.
You call those other people and they'll say, hey, Jim, you know, you told me to call you and I have found something. Here you go. The leftovers. Yep.
And if you're buying deals, everybody, you have to make everybody think that you're their guy.
That's Daryl's perspective,
right?
Yeah.
Right. You got to make sure that nobody knows that. But there are people who say that to us. They go, no, no, no. I don't work with any real estate agents. Yeah. I have many, many real estate agents. You bring me the deal, I buy with you.
I know we just started talking 2 minutes ago, but I feel
something
special.
I'll call you
special.
When something comes up. I don't know what
I get that call all the time. You know, hey, if you find a great deal, I'm always a buyer. Fantastic. If it's a great deal, I'm going to buy it first. And if I'm not buying it, it's going to my best clients next. That's where it's going.
But you are on the list, man. You're on that list. You're number 7. And if the other 6 people say no, I'm going to call you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the way real estate. If you want the best deals, be a good client and a good friend of your agent, because they'll do the work for you. They're looking for those deals every single day and they will find those good deals. But if you're not that good client of theirs, you're not getting first crack at it.
That's it. Daryl,
very different perspective from over here about realtors. listen, we deal with a lot of realtors around here, whether it's residential, whether it's residential leasing, whether it's commercial, whether it's land assemblies. Like, I deal with them all on every level. And I'll tell you the honest to God truth. Most of them should not be the person selling the property that they're selling. It's a mismatch for the seller. The problem is there's no way for the seller to know that until they're already knee deep in shit, right? But we see it all the time. I mean, we've talked to people who we know that their client is in trouble, right? We know their client is bleeding and desperately needs to sell. How do we know that? Well, the agent told us. But on top of that, they take their sweet ass time to like deal with the offer and talk and do the shit. Like, they don't fucking care, because a lot of them are older and fat, and not fat physically. Like, they have money. They don't care. Like, the fact that their client's bleeding out on the sidelines, dying and desperate for you to sell their place, please. And the way that some people behave is it's appalling. It's crazy. And it's only because we've oversaturated, even probably in Saskatchewan, there's probably too many realtors, even if there's not that many. right? There's always going to be too many realtors, TK. Don't smile about
no,
that.
No, I just...
It's
I
the
just,
truth. We I have 80,000
I don't think
counting.
Saskatchewan has too many realtors. I don't know. I Everyone think they has have too probably more than they need, but there's always going to be people who are at the top and there's going to be people at the bottom. And
Matt could sell 426 in a month.
I think
for
you
sure.
Could do 427
that would be pretty cool.
Month.
If I did 400 a month, I'd be pretty happy
but
with
you
that.
Could, yeah. Right?
You'd yeah. make you'd, you'd
I'd probably be a little bit busy. I don't think I'd be on the show if I was selling that many houses.
No.
Yeah, you wouldn't need to be on it. A show. That's right.
We in Toronto, see the issue in Toronto is that you can sell two houses in 1 year and make a living.
Yeah.
Could sell one and make a living for some.
Who the heck in what job can you do two transactions, tasks, contracts, whatever in a year, right? And be considered an expert.
Well, what's your average? Isn't the average agent, do one deal a year type of thing?
Less. It's much less. It's the less average agent one, is doing zero. Yeah. But the median. But
0.1
is yeah. But the again, so the typical person who is actually trying and they're actually selling and whatever, they do two deals a year, right? Okay. And they pop off a $50,000 income and they go.
They did
I'm in real
two
estate,
deals a year.
And then they're the ones who are handling they're not probably handling listings often. They're probably handling buyers, but they're handling a transaction that is person's single most important transaction of their life, and things don't always go so well, Matt.
See, and I look at it like, at least in our market, if you're not doing 20 deals a year, why are you in the business? Like 25 is absolute bare minimum in my mind.
Yeah, and I think a 25 deal a year agent knows what the heck they're doing.
But that's me. That's the minimum standard.
Yeah,
but how is that the benchmark? Because they don't. There's proof everywhere that people that do 25, even 100 deals a year, don't have a clue what they're doing, but they can sell.
That's true.
There's a difference between being a really good realtor and being a good salesperson. And most realtors are really good salespeople, but they're horrible realtors. And then what's happened now is that we've turned good salesmen who are licensed realtors into showmen. And these are salespeople with like free abilities to sell to like way more people than they could ever sell to. And now they get this feedback like, oh, you're so great. You're so smart. Like so many people love me. Right. And it breeds this like, well, listen to what I think, because obviously everybody thinks I'm great. So now what I think is maybe true. And you see people pushing like their agendas and ideas, including us 100%. If we think something's one, look, we all had a vested interest in hoping for a pause or people thinking, rates are coming down. And then everybody's shocked that the rates go up, right? Because why? Not that we didn't think they should. We didn't want them to. Oh, fuck. The market's shocked by... No, the market was shocked by the pause, right?
Hey, does anybody like paying more in interest? I sure don't.
No.
And it doesn't get any more houses built.
It's not. It's seemingly not, right? What do we have? You even said 25% less, you said? In your last video, 25% less housing starts, right? 23%,
something
like that?
We continue to see housing starts decline. Now we're looking, obviously, this year, we're going to see the fewest number of houses built in a number of years. And obviously, we're on pace right now for the largest population increase in a year. So that's not a good mix.
No, it's the perfect recipe for a housing crisis, right?
Yeah.
Like this, if you had the smartest, best elected officials in the whole country to figure out a problem like the housing crisis, this is what you would do, right? You'd make sure that nobody built more and you'd bring in more people that wanted the thing, right? While trying to lower prices and wondering, hey, why is inflation going up? Right?
Yep.
The price of a house just doubled in 2 years.
Why is it so? Look, I mean, people are lined up trying to find a rental right now. I mean, you see it. You guys probably see it far more than we do. Like open houses for a rental and then an open bid basically on a rental property.
So are you seeing that there too? You have lineups for rentals?
Not nearly as much. Again, we're like, I think our vacancy rate's probably what, 6% right now here. That's obviously significantly higher than what's the national average, 1.5%.
Wow.
We still have far more rentals available, but even talking to a lot of good friends of mine, we're seeing how much rent is going up. To see 10% increases in a year, like we're seeing that, people are starting to ask for that. A good buddy of mine was going, I think I'm going to raise my rents on his units $100 a month, which is to him that's ludicrous. And then his competitor went up $250 a month on places that rent only for $1,200 a month.
What about rent control?
Increase. No rent control here.
No rent control. Zero. The market does its work. Guidelines. Nothing like that.
There is some loose guidelines on it, but for all intents and purposes, like there's not cap percent rates, that type of thing.
But you know what acts as rent control? 6% vacancy rate.
Certain amount of rent increases per year.
Options.
Yeah.
Oh. No.
Yeah, it must be something like that, right? The market. You can only raise it once per year.
Yeah, I think it's twice. I got to double check on that, but yeah.
Something like that. Okay.
But you're not going to raise it to lose your tenant if there's six. Put that 6% into your pro forma, right?
Yeah.
Put the six in Toronto, we don't put anything. That thing's going to be rented every second of the day.
Yeah.
That changes things. Yeah. So that's really interesting, though. 6% is it's not a lot, but it gives you options, right? But it's still oh my God, we have to jump on this because it's available. Like,
but the
Toronto.
Good ones are like that. I mean, it's the same thing as sales, right? Like, even when last year, the market's down, the good houses still sold really, really well. Mm-hmm. And even now, the good rentals are still flying out the door type of thing. And, you know, guys that manage their properties well and have good properties that show well, they're not having issues filling them.
TK, mm-hmm. I feel like we're trying to understand like Mexico or like Guatemala or something. Like, it's a different country.
Well,
different out here.
It's different out there.
It's so different.
And that's why I'm trying to like wrap my head around it, right? Why is it that more investors are not in the Saskatchewan market?
We don't see the price appreciation, right? Like, if you're coming in here and you're expecting 10% of your price increases, you won't get it. It's just not going to happen. It almost never does. And you have to be willing to do the work here because, yeah, you are not just going to fill every single unit up just because you put a sign out front. It's actually work.
Didn't we have the scam? Wasn't the scam in Saskatchewan, that rental scam? The guy had like 100.
We talked about that in the last episode.
So did the market get like flooded with rental inventory because of that, or
whatever
houses?
Happened with that? Yeah. Yeah, was there a follow-up on that?
There's still some stuff going on with that one.
Yeah.
We'll probably get more information as that starts going through the courts because it is right now. But yeah, there was a large number of units. It was based out of Saskatoon. Yeah. And Epic Alliance was the company.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw a lot of units that got turned back to investors that weren't worth what investors paid for. There was, in at least one case, a unit that didn't even exist. It had burnt down that the investor thought was there.
Oh, my God.
And that's, again, why, again, if you're an out-of-town investor, you better be an active landlord. There's nothing passive about rental properties. You guys know that. But if you're not going to come physically see the property, that's every time I get somebody calls me and says, hey, I want to buy a property in Regina. Great. Get on a plane, come out here. If you're not invested enough to get on a plane and come out here and see the property, I'm not really sure that, you know, we're a good fit as in that investor and myself, because I want to show these people what they're getting themselves into and what they need to know, because there's areas of town where you could see really high cap rates, not exactly A+ tenants. There's other areas where, yeah, the cap rates aren't as high, but you're going to get really good, solid tenants and good properties.
Well, you can get rid of your tenants with no rent control. Give me the process. My tenant's a real jerk. And now his rent's $800. And I'm like, you know what? Now it's $1,500.
Yeah. So you could do that. We've got, obviously, depending on whether you're on a lease or a month to month, the eviction process is a little bit different. Whether you're going to renovate it, whether you're moving back in, that type of thing.
So, month to month, he's been there for a few years, but he's causing problems, you know?
Yeah. So
he's
then
selling,
obviously,
pirated DVDs, and I just can't have that.
If there's issues, problems, obviously, then you can look to evict for issues like that. And there's a whole process. And our tenant board is actually not only quite good for the most part, none of them are perfect, but you can actually call them and they answer their phones or they phone you back. Oh, yeah. I tell people all the time, like, you know, if you leave a voicemail, they'll actually call you back, and usually within the day, if not within a couple hours. So they're really good there. Our timelines to get hearings is a couple of weeks typically.
Oh my God.
Sometimes a little more. Have an issue, for example, if, you know, with non-payment, or you're concerned about non-payment, you can go get judgments ahead of time and stuff like that. And if they're not out on the end of the month, the sheriffs will make sure they are, type of thing.
Wow.
I'm just going to give you some different perspective on something that you said. And I just want, like, again, I totally appreciate your integrity with your business, but we have a guy who comes on the show from New Brunswick. Okay. His name is Art, and Art doesn't deal with probably any New Brunswick buyers. It's all Ontario buyers, mm-hmm. and none of them go to New Brunswick to buy the properties. He does everything through like 360 tours and videos, yeah. and he's got an incredible business. I think he's like the top realtor in New Brunswick or something like that. He's pretty close because he just focuses on investors, and it's all a bunch of Ontario money, and he shows them these great properties. And that, you know, he then has teams for them. So it's like, oh, look, I connect you with the property managers and connect you with the mortgage people and insurance people and contractors. And he has this whole business set up, right? Is that not something that ever crosses your mind? Like that would be something lucrative for you? Are you busy enough already as it is? Is it just not in your comfort zone? What is it?
In terms of would it be lucrative? Yeah, absolutely it would. Is it something I'm interested in? Not necessarily.
He's preserving their heritage.
He's got a sharp setup. Watch one of our episodes when we'd had Art on there, because Art is like,
yep,
he's got it set up right.
But where's Art from?
New Brunswick.
He is?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's why he's got all these connections. And so his value proposition is, this is actually our value proposition here in Ontario, because we're a big Toronto team and then we service other areas. And we bring the Toronto buyers to these other areas, which is going to help sell the people's homes for more money, right? Yeah. Your value proposition would be, I got Ontario buyers.
Yeah.
Those guys are stupid. They'll buy anything. They'll pay any price you want. Yeah, and that, I think more sellers would want to work with you knowing that you have the Ontario connection.
They don't want Ontario people. They want new people that think more like Saskatchewan people. Because Ontario, listen,
not
to
when
that.
They're
we're
selling
all about
their property, Daryl. That's who they want as a neighbor. But when it comes time to sell their property, they want more money.
Do they?
They don't care about anymore. About nobody. Everybody's a racist or a bigot or anything else until that person is buying their home and paying them more money.
Right.
Then they go, yeah, you know what? I think that would be good for the neighborhood.
You know what, though? I agree. Yes. And for the most part, yes, that's true. I have lost out on multiple offer situations because the sellers want to sell the house to a certain person.
See,
I've lost
TK,
out on a handful
I'm telling
of those.
You. Different planet altogether.
Yeah.
Different
again,
mindset.
Money always talks, but I've had that, or I've been on the sell side where they've looked at the offers and said, we like these people.
Yeah.
Okay.
I could see it.
Picture a multiple offer scenario, Daryl, in Saskatchewan.
Okay.
One offer is $500 higher than the other.
Right.
I had a story. Okay. Look, Matt, I had a story. And Daryl wants to tell an Uber story. So I'll tell my story first.
Thank you.
I had a house for sale. It was at Bayview and Finch, which is like a pretty decent pocket of Toronto. Nothing too upscale, but definitely a high demand. And we had three offers the one night. And there was the highest offer was $85,000 more than what we were just about to accept. Than the last sale. The last sale on the street was $85,000 less. So we were happy.
Yeah.
My executor was in Europe because it was a estate sale. So I'm calling her and saying, hey, we got this great offer. Do you want to accept? She says, fantastic. I'll take it. Let's do it. I said, well, we've got some time here and that you're irrevocable. So let's just wait and see if anything else comes in. Later on, like an hour or so, a guy calls me and says, hey, is it still available? And I say, well, last night we had all these great offers. We're just about to accept one, but we haven't yet. So if you bring me your best offer, your client has a chance to be able to get the property. An hour later, I got an offer sent to me, $240,000 more than what we were just about to accept. That's the Toronto real estate market. So we took
that.
Yeah,
we're not like that.
Yeah. So I don't care what color skin or religion or language is spoken in Saskatchewan. When that seller gets $240,000 more thrown at them, they're going to say to their neighbors, so sorry, guys, we're moving to Hawaii, you know, or maybe like Calgary, like somewhere,
yeah.
Go to Calgary. Somewhere like exclusive.
Yeah. For us, like our multiple offers, generally you're seeing two offers. It's probably going to go about asking price. Three offers is when it starts going over asking price. And just from the last 2 years, kind of what I've been seeing is every offer, three or more, is probably worth $5,000 to $8,000 over the asking price for each one. So if you get four offers to see it sell, $10,000-$15,000 over asking, that's probably about where it'll be, you know. But we don't see a ton of multiple offers with more than three or four. Like six offers would be crazy for us for the most part.
Mm-hmm. And $6,000 to get, like, we're not talking about people
per
that
offer.
Just go
per offer. Yeah
fine,
but six
still,
means the first three are at asking
grand,
and then there's another three, so
grand.
Yeah, you're $25,000 over asking.
Right. So, jeez. But here,
which is
it's
what
like,
the market was like in the 90s. Like, I remember the stories. Like, there's a ton of people who tell me the same thing where they had to pay over asking. It was like $5,000 over asking.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but here people are just throwing like $250,000 nukes at the offer, right? I don't care anymore. Just get the fucking house.
Mortgage. Yeah.
Whatever. Whatever.
I had one, the biggest one where I've been involved in terms of over asking price. We were $75,000 over asking, but when the buyers, when we first, well, actually they sent me the listing, said, what do you think of this? And I said, it's a great house and it's a great neighborhood, but it's priced with a five in front of it. This is a 600 plus neighborhood. So if you're not willing to accept that this house is probably going to cost you 600 something, whatever that number is, we'll have to sort that out. Let's not go look at it, because they were 550 was the asking price.
They pulled and the Toronto.
They loved it when they got there. They were like, oh.
Well, I think the issue with this one was, honestly, I think the agent just mispriced it. I don't think they were trying to underprice it in order to attract attention. I think they just mispriced it.
They didn't have like a cousin in Toronto that's a realtor? Hey, just put it at $499.
It works every time.
Yeah, that's right. No, I think it was just a mistake. List the last. So there were 9 offers on that one, which again, for us, is crazy to think of that many. 2 of them were right around that 550.
How do you know?
Next.
Sorry. How do you know?
Because I asked the agent.
And so they're just like, well, Jim's offering this price. And this.
No, after it was a done deal.
After it was a done deal.
I said, just because it's out of curiosity.
Yeah.
I was asked every time I've been in a multiple offer, I always ask the agents, you know, give me as much information as you can. And if they can, they can. And if they can't, they can't. Right. But
do you know what the standard answer is when you ask agents here? When you win, right?
Yeah.
They say, well, the other offer was higher than yours.
Oh, yeah.
But we really like
you
game.
Better.
Yeah. But in this case, yes. Yeah, so there were 2 offers around that 550 mark. And then there were 7 offers. So one of them being ours, were all, we were 620 was the final purchase price. And all of them were within about $5,000.
All right.
So 7 people independently all came up with a very, very similar price.
Mm-hmm.
And when I talked to the guys again, I said, look, again, this is the only reason this house didn't have a $700,000 price point is because the crescent that it's on, one side backs onto a golf course and green space and stuff like that. The other side is obviously the inside of the crescent. So the outside of the crescent backing onto that green space, you're 750 all day long, pretty much. It's just the fact this is on the other side of the crescent. That's why it didn't have a 7 in front of it, had a 6.
Nice. And sorry, your client got it?
They did, yeah.
Yeah, nice. So this is how, I guess, all the different scenarios can work, right? I mean, we're very experienced with multiple offers. That's the market. So when we do our little masterminds,
it's weird
we
when
talk
there
to people
aren't
all over
any.
North America, Toronto, we're just like, we have a certain market here where this is just becomes normal. And so in other markets, when they deal with multiple offers, it's to be expected. They're not as experienced with those type of situations because it just doesn't happen often. And you've been dealing with this for years and years and years. You become well-versed in it. Whereas if I went into an auction situation, I'd be clueless. I wouldn't know what, you know, how does the auction work? Like, you know, do you go up 1,500 in New Zealand or whatever, right?
I was licensed in 2012. And I probably up until 2 years ago could have counted the number of multiple offers I've been in on one hand.
Yeah.
Probably could have. Maybe. Might have had to get onto that second hand. But that's just wasn't very common in our market to see multiple offers up until 2 years ago. And obviously we've been silly since then.
Yeah. We couldn't count the amount, like we couldn't even tell you the number in 1 year.
Yeah.
You know, you could make 10 offers with one client.
Yeah.
And you get, you know, you finally get the 10th one, right? So you just lose track of time just every day. It's like, what multiple offer am I going into today? Which multiple offer am I going to lose tonight?
Yeah, it's not like it's weird if there isn't multiple offers.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We had a period here where it was like, there's no multiple offers. What do we do now? How do we price this thing?
What the fuck? We
got to figure it out. Like,
jeez, how many bedrooms does this place even have?
Research? What the hell? How do I do that? Then you got to call the admin and say, hey, how do I use this like Treb thing you guys gave me 20 years ago?
How do I do a price reduction?
Conditions.
Just research.
We've had our moments for price reductions, that's for sure. Because sellers in Toronto always have high expectations. So you're always talking to them about the price.
Being in Saskatchewan, I'm remiss to even bring this up. I don't know if anybody's checked the news lately, but you got any UFO sightings out there in those fields?
No,
nothing.
Not I know.
Have you not heard about all the alien and UFO talk out there right now?
No, I must be living under a rock.
He must be in like Saskatchewan or something.
He's selling real estate.
TK, do you know what I'm talking about, bro?
In Saskatchewan? No.
Not in Saskatchewan, like in the planet. You haven't heard about all this UFO talk?
I've been following it. I only really know what Joe Rogan tells me, to be honest with you. Oh, whatever his guests talk about, then I follow it at that point.
Well, at some point, we're going to have to figure out how this affects the real estate market, but I guess not today.
When the day comes that the aliens do come and everybody, you know, is like, oh my gosh, this is real. And, you know, maybe they want our planet and resources, or they just want to hang out with us.
Friends, yeah.
The real estate market will change that day. For sure.
I think it will affect the real estate market.
It's going to go up or it's going to go down. It's definitely going to change that day.
It will be very different. Okay. So talking about aliens, well, let's talk about immigration. Okay.
Yep.
Dale's got a story for us.
I got a crazy, like, I was like, this is so fitting. And to be honest, I started recording it and then I was like, nah, this isn't right. Cause okay. I get in the Uber yesterday. I'm going to my friends for a little party, a little get together, and I'm in the Uber and I swear to God, I feel like it's a setup. So I close the door and the guy's talking and he's like, sorry, I'm just on a call with my friend. And the first thing in my head is, well, that's fucking rude. Like, you're an Uber driver. What are you doing? Right. And then they start talking about real estate and they're talking about mortgages. And one guy's explaining, the Uber driver is mentoring this guy on the phone about real estate. And I was like, this is going to be amazing. Like, what am I getting myself into, right? For sure, I'm getting some content from this, right? So I'm listening to the story and I'm trying not to like be eavesdropping, but every once in a while, he looks in the back mirror and sees that I'm kind of paying attention, but it doesn't stop. And so I'm like, this is a setup. I'm getting set up for something. Like, they want me to help them with money, or I don't know, or all of a sudden there's going to be a gun in my face. I don't know what's going on.
I got this really great deal. I don't know what to do with it. I mean,
right.
And I guarantee it's a lock.
Hmm.
We're just short 50 grand. Otherwise, you know, we could make millions.
That's right. Where's the deal here? I'm like, where's the angle? Anyway, so the guy's like, it's not on speaker, but I can hear him. And he's saying like, he's going to kill himself because he bought a new construction last April in Toronto, not in Toronto, Grimsby, Ontario. Okay. Pays $1.1 million for new construction with gifted money from his Indian parents. And now they're selling houses in the same subdivision for $700,000. And the guy is freaking out. And he's like, literally like wants to kill himself over this whole thing. And the driver's like, buddy, like, just cut bait, like, move on, like, don't have a heart attack over this thing. You need your health. And I'm sitting in the back going like, oh my God, how many people
are they speaking English if they're like immigrants?
Well, so one guy's Indian. The guy on the phone is definitely from India, like, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And the guy is probably African. He was black and sounded like an African accent.
Buddy, but the common language is English.
I guess they're friends through being in a similar situation here in Canada, because the guy driving is like, I lost all this money in real estate. And now I got to drive a Uber and I have a $500,000 house and it's got a $150,000 first and it's got a $250,000 second and everything's going to be okay because we don't know what's going to be in 6 months. And all of a sudden I'm like in the conversation and I didn't want to be. He's like, he asked me a question, right? And I was like, I felt compelled to answer, honestly. And he's like, can you talk to my friend here? And I was like, oh my God, what's going on? And so the guy's like texting me, he took my number, and the guy's fucked up, man. The guy's in, like, imagine a year ago, you pay one with money your parents gave you.
In Grimsby. The highest sale price in Grimsby up to that point would have been like 600,000.
And now
maybe the one house sold for $1 million because it had like 10 acres. Go ahead.
And now they're selling for 700,000. And I mean, what do you do? Because guess what? Like, how long do you think his mortgage was for? Right. And guess what? Do you think it's fixed?
He bought it, or is it pre-con?
It was pre-con. He closed it.
He's already closed it. See, the
he's in a variable.
Of course. The developers are the ones where when you go to get your application done, right? You get your plan of subdivision and everything else. You've bought the land, you're calculating your cost, all that kind of stuff. And your timing was, we're now ready to sell at the beginning of 2022. There is no way in hell that your calculations were that you were going to get $1.1 million in Grimsby. There is no way that you ever were making a marketing package to sell to your investors or to justify to yourself that you will sell this house for 1.1. But when the market came, it was opportunistic and you said, I guess we'll ask 1.1. Let's just see what just people happened. Do.
Yeah, look, they lose sight. They just had a line up down the street. What do we
see? What 1.1 does? I bet you will get it. And then they sold out, right? So it means that there's way more profit than they ever expected. Sure, some of the costs went up and they had all this stuff. But some of these prices are so egregious. There's no way that their construction costs had gone up that much. And so the people who now have not closed on those yet, some of my advice to them is like, just wait it out. Maybe there's going to be an opportunity for you to have like a class action lawsuit here with your other people who bought. You know, maybe there's a way for you to get your deposit, but I don't know. Like, I'm not saying that's not my advice. It's just, you don't know what's going to happen in those type of situations because it's pure greed. And, you know, these developers, especially if you've got a reputable developer, they don't want that press, you know, they're not going to want to have somebody like have an entire subdivision decide not to close because they all overpaid hundreds of thousands of dollars. Can't close, but chose not to try. Hundreds of thousands of dollars more. And there's a ton of those scenarios out there.
Yeah, you guys imagine? Got a different market than we do.
That's what I, yeah, this can't happen
it's
there.
It's different.
Yeah. Well, this you aren't building, one. Two, prices don't move that much. And so it's a much safer market to buy in Saskatchewan. Is like the odds of things.
It's a local market, right? Like we're not an investor-based market. We are a local market for people that are buying, for the most part, to live here. Like obviously, yes, there are investors. There are people that are buying for rental property purposes. But we don't have like the pre-construction market like you guys have where people line up, buy a property, no intention to close on it, hope they can make 100 or 200 grand on it. That is few and far between here. It still happens, but it's not the majority of the market.
How long can that. It not happen?
You have
there?
That, but it's just not at the pre-construction it's not homes. There, yeah. It's at the John Deere factory where there's a new model that comes out and everybody lines up at the door and they're just like, buddy, this tractor is insane. And they're all wanting the newest model.
No, but seriously, how long can it the dam hold? Like
eventually people are going to figure it out.
Well, but like your last video, you also talked about like how we're already on a record pace for permanent residence, right?
Yeah.
Which is crazy. This year. Right. So like we're not turning the tap even down. Like we're not even trying to make it medium or like lukewarm water. Like we're burning the economy up. We're bringing in anybody that wants to come in right now. Not anybody, but as many people as we can.
It's the stopgap to fill holes in the economy.
Yeah, but look,
but like, with no plan to build.
So like
we're doing pretty good. So actually, that's something I wanted to talk to you about. So the province of Ontario, right? We're doing a lot of the province, the government is changing a lot of the policies, right? So they're basically they're forcing municipalities to be able to expand their urban boundaries. So they're basically saying, look, you have all this land, you need to build more. They've done something called a minister zoning order on a few different places to basically say, we're going to like force you to build and the city doesn't have a choice on, you know, what's going to be built there. Has the province in Saskatchewan done anything like that to create more housing?
Why?
They don't need to, right? There's already tons of land.
What's the point?
Yeah.
We,
what do they do then? Like,
they don't
if
do
they
anything.
Think that their population is going to increase, how does the province handle this in order to be able to supply homes for those people? Like, what are they
There's
doing?
Not, and actually this is an area where I think there's a lot we could do better, but because there isn't the same push for the demand, because our market is obviously much smaller, moves a little slower, we're not seeing that same push, and it's more market forces will drive it, right? And we've seen it, new construction, more basements are starting to get dropped around the city here and things like that. Like absolutely new construction is picking up, but I mean, it's picking up from what was almost a standstill.
So 6 to 9.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, yeah, you know,
but they have to have, You guys have to have like Ontario money. But you have to have like a crazy run up in appreciation so that guys that bought in 2012 can make sense out of building now and making money, right? Like your 300,000 has to turn to like six for those eventually. Guys to, right? So it doesn't happen. What happens is you're forced into it because of a shortage, like everywhere else in the country, right? Because like immigrants that actually want to have a chance, like Calgary became out of reach now, right? So like what's next? We don't know anywhere in Manitoba. Like Manitoba may as well not even exist, right?
Winnipeg.
Winnipeg. Like who cares about Winnipeg? So we have like four or five options that are all like Montreal overpriced, the people can't live there. Like I was saying last week, even this tiny little town in Ontario, Eagle Lake, the people can't get jobs that support the prices in Eagle Lake anymore. So they're moving to wherever the fuck is even further than Eagle Lake, yeah. Right? To rent, because they still can't even buy anywhere. Yep. If they can even sell their house. I mean, some people just leave the family house there to die while they go buy another place for 50 grand somewhere. So Saskatchewan is like the next place that makes the most sense and has room to appreciate and still make a ton of sense. So when does this thing pop?
When you guys keep talking about it.
No, but there's lots of people talking about it. Nobody's buying it. Nobody's buying it. I've talked about it since at least when we had you on the first time, because when I heard all this stuff from you, I was like, this is a no-brainer, but like, I got to go there and see this, right?
You guys come out here. I'll host you here. We'll have a great time. We'll show you what's available. And
that would be fantastic. We'll have some fun. Because
we should buy a property.
But it doesn't make sense not to. Like, I don't get it. Like, that's why I want to go there, because there's something missing from this, but that's keeping everybody out of there. Because all the people going to Calgary, why the fuck are you going to Calgary instead of Saskatchewan? Calgary,
right? It's the lemmings thing. Everybody follows it, what they think is the easy thing to do. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what's going on. Calgary picked up some steam, got a little national attention.
But they have oil, right? Like you guys have wheat and all these commodities. What does Vancouver have? Why does everybody go to Vancouver? Like other than money laundering, there's zero reason to be in Vancouver unless you're born there. But Saskatchewan makes sense from every level. You have agriculture. You have nice people. You have cheap prices. You have people are willing to pick a local over more money. Okay. This is not normal.
Not always, but it happens.
But it happens. It doesn't happen here. Does it happen here, TK? You ever had somebody go like, I just love these young couples so much. I got to help them out.
They'll help them out. Like they'll say,
keep the barbecue.
We really want that person like to get the home. Tell their agent, they'll say like, see if they'll like do this price instead, you know, like they'll kind of be like giving mm-hmm. them some guidance. But if there's more money coming from the other one, does it happen? Of course it does happen. There's examples where people have taken less money.
One kid.
Not often at all. Not often. That's not.
But we're still a market, and we're still saying, Regina, you know, 275,000 people here. Everybody is 1 or 2 degrees of separation from everybody here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a market very much in a world of not what you know, it's who you know.
Mm-hmm.
And your connections within the city will get you jobs, will get you deals, will get you opportunities that you wouldn't have if you don't know somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, like my business is 95%+ referral repeat business.
Right.
I don't advertise at all. My only advertising that I do is my channel. I don't do it to get business. It does get me business, but I do it because I enjoy it.
Yeah.
But my business comes from just being in my community. I mean, I coach a lot of football here. That's something that I'm passionate about. And probably 30% of the deals I do come from my coaching world.
Wow.
Nice.
Well, and that's why you can't act like people act in Toronto, because instantly everybody knows you're a dick, right? Instantly you fucked somebody and everybody knows. Whereas here, there's like some people's business plan is to just move on to the next guy, fuck everybody and just go burn.
You can't do it very long here.
I mean, and if it wasn't premeditated.
It's an infinite amount of people to burn in Toronto.
Infinite.
You could just keep on just over and over and over again. Yeah.
Because the buyers are scoundrels too here, right? It's everybody.
There's a lot of greed. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff happening in the big city.
It's a crazy place to be. So anyways, I mean, Do you feel like you understand Saskatchewan anymore, TK?
I'm like pretty better, much like all in on Saskatchewan. I think I'm going to move there. I think it's a cool place to be. I'm going to start a little business. I'm going to just buy rental properties and use people's money from Ontario to do it and have like,
no, don't bring them here.
I'm going to have, like, no, I won't bring them here. I'm just going to sell them the rental properties and I'll use you as my agent. Cause I won't even get licensed. I'll just own the properties make lots of cash flow. And, Daryl will be my first investor. So it's a solid business plan. This is sayonara, good. Ontario.
Sayonara or sayonara.
People also like when you take vacations. I know that's not an Ontario thing. You know, you guys don't know what vacations are. Like for us, this is our summer vacation time coming up as soon as school's over. Like our market drops off considerably as soon as school ends because everybody knows you're going on vacation. Yeah. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. Call me 2 weeks and you're back.
Yeah. I'm saving for one. I think like 2028, I'm going to probably hit up the beach somewhere just to be able to relax.
2028. Yeah. TK.
Few years
what
from now.
What the hell? TK's on vacation every day.
We're at the end of the show. Matt, let's just do a shameless plug. Where can people find you?
So the YouTube channel is Bald Prairie Real Estate. And in the description of all those videos, I've got all my contact information. You guys can put that in there below. And real estate agent here in Regina, Saskatchewan.
Yeah. And like totally like all over the national real estate stats and the markets.
That's
and
what I love doing. So
all the stuff that we talk about, like, that we try to talk about that relates to Canada, even though most of it's Toronto centric, you're doing a much better job. And if people really want to get informed, check out your channel. And we appreciate you coming on the show again. We hope to have you back sometime soon when we got some
come
more.
Come on up to Saskatchewan. We'll go out and we'll show you the town.
When that we got would some be more, great. We should go, TK.
So I love it.
We should really go.
Yeah.
I'll host you. We'll look at some houses. You guys get a, I'll show you the really good ones.
How would we
ones.
Get to Saskatchewan?
Really bad ones too.
Driving to Saskatchewan doesn't sound exciting.
To walk.
I think we'd have to fly.
We should do like
a
Terry Fox
game while we're here.
And so I wonder if there's anybody that actually, well, first of all, if there's anybody still listening, but if you're from Saskatchewan, like I'd love to hear somebody from Saskatchewan's perspective on the Toronto market, right? Because it must sound like a bunch of freaking maniacs.
They're not watching our show.
Are they not watching even when Matt's on? I'll bet you there's some people from Saskatchewan. Okay, they're just really polite and quiet. They don't want to comment on the crazy
comment and say
bullshit
anything.
We
they
provide
like and subscribe here from three different accounts, but they don't comment. They don't want to take up any time.
Mr.
Right,
Matt,
I
thank you again,
it.
Sir.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.